I'm WBJC's Interim General Manager, Jonathan Polevsky. The end of June marks the end of the fiscal year, and I'd like to thank everyone who pledged during this time to support WBJC. I thought it might be nice to say thank you by highlighting the life and works of a different composer each day until June 30th. Let's call it 30 in 30. By the way, if you didn't make a pledge, it is my fiduciary responsibility to tell you that you can still be part of our fundraising efforts this fiscal year by going to WBJC.com. And with no further ado, it's time for 30 in 30 number 6. Not too long ago, we were peacefully celebrating his 250th birthday. Then came the pandemic, then came the protests. If there was ever a composer who was perfect for our time, surely it's him. He suffered personal adversity, dealt with a traumatic chronic illness, and believed in what we now call social justice. In the town of Bonn, where his father worked as a singer at the court of the Elector of Cologne. He endured a miserable abusive childhood, complete with alcoholic father and enabling mother. He was not the child prodigy Mozart was, nor was he particularly gregarious or charming. The first person to recognize his talents was the court organist Christian Gottlieb Neefe, who thought that his piano playing and compositional ability might lead to him becoming something special. Here's a bit of Juvenalia by our composer, his Variations on a March by Dressler. At 22 years old, he went to Vienna, which became his home for the rest of his life. He was supposed to study with Haydn, but that relationship, though helpful, never really blossomed. What did bear substantial fruit was his association with noble patrons. Princes like Lobkowitz and Lichnowsky loved him and his music. He was probably the finest pianist in Vienna, a city chock full of them, and his compositions were soon the talk of the town. What could possibly go wrong? Sadly, in 1796, our 26-year-old composer, yes, it's Beethoven, began to experience deafness. 6 years later, he realizes that he has a lasting malady that will not respond to treatment. Beethoven decides he will not capitulate by either suicide or retirement. Instead, he decides to reinvent music. He said to a colleague, "I will seek a new path," and that new path is one of self-expression and emotional intensity, as can be seen from his Eroica, Heroic, or Third Symphony. The Eroica was initially dedicated to Napoleon, who Beethoven greatly admired as a liberator of men and the beginning of a new age of enlightened rule. When Napoleon turned out to be a tyrant like all the rest, Beethoven reportedly tore up the title page and renamed the symphony Eroica. Now freed of any conventional compositional thoughts and practices, Beethoven, in what is known as his Eroic period, was amazingly prolific. Symphonies, piano concertos, string quartets all flowed from his incredibly productive pen. For our purposes today, and for our time, his opera Fidelio is particularly relevant. The story of a man unjustly imprisoned and the woman who rescues him appeal to the composer a great deal. First, I can't resist quoting the exquisite quartets where all the characters air their thoughts directly to us.
Oh,
Then there is the prisoners' chorus when they are let out of their horrid dark cells and experience the beauty of sunlight. While his personal life was full of peculiar and sometimes erratic behavior, Beethoven truly wanted the best for all of us. In his Ninth Symphony, he put words to music to proclaim that alle Menschen werden Brüder, all men, and I think we can safely say now, all people will be brothers. Sadly, we're not quite there yet, but Beethoven gives humanity something it can aspire to. I'm WBJC's Jonathan Polewski, and this has been 30 and 30 number 6. If you'd like to contribute to WBJC, you can go to WBJC.com.